Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. Before we get into today's episode, I gotta tell you about Kettlebell Social. It's here. Kettlebell Social is my newly revamped online strength training program and community for women who like to do hard things but are trying to be more chill in their approach to fitness. It's opening for enrollment September 18th, 2023. So depending on when you're listening to this, you can go to the link in the show notes and either get yourself on the interest list or just sign up and join us. Here's the deal. Your workouts are meant to enhance your life, not consume it. You maybe love to work out, but like you have a whole ass life to live outside of the gym. You're so over using exercise to shrink yourself, and you love feeling like a badass, but you also need it to be fun and flexible and free. And you're ready to start questioning the arbitrary rules around fitness and stop following advice that wasn't meant for you. If this sounds like you, we're your people. Come play inside of Kettlebell Social. You can check out the link in the show notes for more info. Welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I'm your host, Jenna Josephowski, but you can call me Jenna J. I'm a semi-retired professional dancer, dance teacher, and yoga teacher, turned certified personal trainer and kettlebell instructor who helps active women learn to lift and get strong with equal parts challenge and compassion. After years of working in the fitness industry, I got sick and tired of watching people, including myself, run themselves into the ground trying to uphold the narrow-minded image of what our culture sees as healthy and fit. But instead of giving it all up, I decided that I'd rather change the game, call out the BS, extract the good, and help others learn to use movement as a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. On this podcast, we'll explore the intersection of fitness and anti-diet culture and all the gray areas in between. We'll let go of shoulds and judgment and dig into tough conversations with curiosity. Things get pretty spicy around here, so grab your headphones and let's do this. Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. Today, I'm super excited to share with you this episode with Maya Bryant, who I was able to connect with over Instagram. I believe at some point last year, I stumbled on her account. And we connected over the fact that we both have a dance background. But one of the things that I really appreciate about her is that she is a bar instructor who presents not only bar, but I would say exercise in general, strength training in general, as being something that is meant to be empowering and something to build you up rather than tear you down. I am also very, very highly entertained by the way that she so beautifully calls out some of the garbage messaging that we sometimes get from workouts like bar. The like, oh, do these three exercises for a thigh gap or these four exercises for toned arms. And I've always been like, no, that's not how this works. That is not how this works. And she just calls it out so wonderfully and shows us how to do it in a better way. So a little bit about Maya. After dancing for 20 years, studying exercise science in undergrad, and being beaten up by diet culture and eventually falling into compulsive exercise and disordered eating, Maya sought to create something empowering in fitness. So during her Master of Public Health program, she created a workout program, Raise the Bar. Women are under immense pressure to maintain a certain body type that changes every decade and to go on extreme diets and exercise plans to try to change their bodies. Those diets fail 95% of the time, and weight regain happens within 1 to 5 years. Her research project showed that we can help enable women to feel better in their bodies without intentionally striving to change them because body image is internal work. In addition to Maya's professional work in public health policy, she's the founder and CEO of Bar Empowered, a fitness platform for bar in an empowering way without the toxic diet culture. At Bar Empowered, Maya helps women feel fierce and fit in their bodies, fall in love with fitness, and develop a life-giving wellness routine that inspires them for a lifetime. I left this conversation just feeling so like warm and fuzzy and uplifted because everything that Maya is doing just gives me hope for the future of the fitness industry. And I love that she's bringing this into the very specific bar space. I also love the public health lens that she's able to see this through and the way that she's able to break down how the social determinants of health relate to our actual health and wellness. And I think that's a really important message. And we were able to dive into that in our conversation today as well. So without further ado, let's go talk to Maya. Hey, Maya, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you. And I have wanted to talk to you and have you on the podcast for a while. We originally connected over Instagram. I don't even remember how, but I remember discovering that you also had a dance background and thinking it was really cool and absolutely loving the way that you call out the bullshit in the bar world, because that is something, and we'll get into this a little bit, that as a dance teacher and as a personal trainer, I feel like bar is a style of exercise that a lot of dancers gravitate towards and get into. But then I've been seeing this thing that you call out so beautifully where people are just spouting like body shamey lies about bar classes, and then dancers fall for it. And I'm looking at these classes and these teachers and these social media people who are posting things that dancers fall for. I mean, not just dancers, that everybody falls for. And I'm like, no, that's wrong. And she's full of shit. She was just, you know, like genetically looks like that. These five exercises will not give you a thigh gap.
Right.
Oh, so I cannot wait to talk to you about that and so many other things. But before we get into it, do you want to share a little background about you? Who are you and how you came to be doing the kind of work that you're doing today?
Sure. So I grew up doing dance, of course, most of my life. I stopped dancing in a company just recently. So freshly out of that and more so into fitness, but I did my undergrad in exercise science with a minor in dance. And then I had just developed really disordered eating patterns, went through my parents' divorce and a whole bunch of other life changes, and life was just happening.
Yeah.
So with all of that, I remember going to the doctor and she asked me basically, how did you lose this weight? And I told her what I was doing and I was encouraged by it. It was like, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. Or I told her like, hey, I'm exercising 3 hours, you know, 2-3 hours a day. And I was telling her, you know, I'm having some pain and discomfort. And she's like, well, if you're exercising more, then, you know, since your level of activity is already pretty high, you want to exercise a little bit more and that can help alleviate it and all this other stuff. I'm like, okay, great. I'm not listening to you anymore. But right. So just,
I wish you could see my face right now. I'm just literally jaw on the floor.
2-3 hours a day, eating all, you know, the quote unquote right foods and everything, limiting my caloric intake to that of a toddler, and then being told, well, you should do more. So all of that, of course, fostered some really disordered eating patterns, some really disordered exercise patterns. I was literally working out in the morning, post lunch walk, working out in the evening. Then on top of that, going to either teach or participate in dance classes, way out of control. That much of exercise led to, you know, chronic inflammation. I remember thinking that, oh, I just have brittle nails. No, I don't. I don't have brittle nails, but they were falling off. I have very, very, very curly hair. Probably type 3C, 4A texture. For reference, my hair was straight.
Wow.
Straight malnutrition. My hair was literally straight and it was falling out. And I was so concerned, like, why is so much of my hair falling out in the shower? The second that I actually started eating, you know, the requirements of a fully grown woman, all of a sudden, don't have brittle nails. My hair's not falling out. So anyway, went into my undergrad, had all of those things happen, and had a reoccurrence of those things in my master's program because, you know, weight gain happens when you are eating, you know, the caloric intake of a 2-year-old, but then thought, oh, it's my fault. I need to get back in shape. So then of course did the same thing through grad school and then ended up coming out of that, discovering accounts like yours and intuitive eating, that lovely framework and all these sorts of other things. And then I ended up actually doing my master's project of the harms in diet culture and really focusing on the linkage between body image and mental health with exercise. And then really talking about how we can use exercise as a tool that can be empowering to help us feel good in our bodies and not one that is intended to change our bodies.
Yes. And we're going to get into so much of that in this episode. But before we do, there's one thing that I want to acknowledge, which is the exercise patterns that you describe, I think are really, really common with dancers and with other types of active people, athletes of different sorts. And I think it gets normalized. And I don't know if you felt this way, but almost as if, like, especially like you minored in dance in college. Mm-hmm. You had, you know, perhaps like classes and rehearsals during the day, and then you were teaching because that was your job. Sometimes right. We rack up a lot of movement and we think that it's normal to do mm-hmm. that much, but
yeah,
it's so skewed. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's so interesting because now that I have my own pup, I notice like, oh, I'm walking her in the morning. I'm walking her in the evening. Sometimes I'm going to Pilates. So like that level of activity has increased, but it is a natural increase that is also sustainable, flexible. Some days I go to Pilates, some days I don't. But like that pressure of feeling like I have to work out every single day and it has to be for 2 hours. Can't just do one workout.
Right. It's just wild. I don't know, I guess what is normalized when,
absolutely.
When you're a dancer or any kind of athlete really. Mm-hmm. But before we get into all that, let's talk about bar marketing, because as mm-hmm. I mentioned, bar marketing is my pet peeve, but I would love to hear more about how you got into bar and what you love about it. And also what really grinds your gears about it and all of those things.
So I think the way I actually got into bar, I haven't considered this until you asked me, but I think I was in undergrad and was looking for work as a fitness instructor. And now that I think about it, I think I saw that a fitness studio or a bar studio was hiring instructors and I tried class. So I think that's how I got into bar.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ended up not teaching there, but that did kind of fire up a passion in bar for me. And I still wanted to get involved in it in some way. So then, of course, I got certified in bar for my master's project. And then that was how I started teaching. So it ended up being a little bit of a gap, but a good gap. So,
yeah. Okay. Got it. And so what do you really love about bar? You said that you sort of developed a passion for it. What do you love most about it?
You know, in some of my classes, when we really get going with some of that strength training, I would say this is our opportunity for that graceful strength, for you to feel empowered, graceful, fierce in the movement as we are still building those strong, healthy bones. I love that it is a way to strengthen our bodies, right? Like not everybody's going to go to the gym and try to bench their body weight, mm-hmm. but everybody needs to strength train, right? We all need healthy bones and muscles. So I love that bar provides that more dance based and more of a graceful way to approach it and without necessarily needing to lift super, super heavy weights in the process.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, kind of off topic, but I was just training one of my personal training clients at the gym and she's been with me for years and she's also a dancer. And we were having a discussion about kind of how her mindset has changed around the gym over the past couple of years. But that like when you're coming from a dance background that is very like graceful, and I think like, I don't know, a little bit less gritty in a way, jumping like right into that gym space where you're like picking up a barbell can feel, I think, kind of intimidating and scary. Absolutely. So it's cool that you're able to give people that like comfortability level, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. meet them a little bit closer to their natural, I guess, habitat, like movement habitat, if you will. So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Now tell me what grinds your gears.
Definitely bar. And a little bit of, you know, Pilates sometimes will often focus on the body type as the end result. And that is really frustrates me because, you know, bodies come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. I can do a million of, you know, like you were saying, the exercises for the thigh gap. I'm not going to have a thigh gap. It's just not going to happen. And we have to take into account, like, we should be celebrating our bodies. All of our bodies are so beautifully and uniquely made, and we should celebrate and honor that, not think that everybody needs to be sick thin and have, you know, the quote unquote dancer's body. And maybe we should get rid of the idea that, you know, all dancers should look the same anyway. So then there's not the ballerina body type to aspire to with, you know, the long lean legs or the chiseled out core and all of these different things that get promoted in bar.
Right. And I think because bar is a style of movement that a lot of dancers naturally gravitate towards, particularly, and I noticed this a lot when I was dancing professionally, that a lot of fellow professionals would get side gigs teaching things like bar, like Pilates, like yoga, which was my first entry into the fitness world, because there's that like comfort level with it. But I think also the people who naturally gravitate towards learning, teaching, doing those things are often people that are kind of naturally falling into that body type in the first place. Absolutely. And so it becomes a little bit of this, like, work out like me and you'll look like me. But I'm over here on the sidelines, and I see this. I'm thinking of one dancer in Chicago in particular that I know that's like promoting some kind of bar workout to everybody. And she's got like a massive Instagram following. And I'm like, bitch, you look like that before you ever, like, but like, cause I've known this girl for years. I'm like, you've looked like that since the beginning of time. That's not your bar workout. That's your body.
Yeah. A lot of fitness trainers are really just trying to sell you their body type.
Yeah. It's not how it works. And I think, you know, you and I both have probably learned that the hard way by going into it and thinking there's something wrong with you. Like, why don't my arms look like those arms?
Right. I did all the same exercises as you.
I know. It's like, that is not how this works. Yeah. Is there, in that regard, is there anything else that you wish would change about the bar industry, I guess?
My issue isn't with the exercises themselves, but I do wish that we were not marketing exercise in a way that is, you will change your body, because then that becomes the unit to whether you measure if exercise is being effective for you. Oh, she said I would get long, lean legs. I would get toned legs. I do the workout for 21 days. If I don't get toned legs, was exercise not effective at that point? Did we not gain stronger, healthy bones and muscles? Did we not learn how to exercise in a consistent pattern? Did we learn how to lift weights? Did you have better mental health, better sleep? And there's so many other things that come with an exercise routine. But when we market exercise as body changing, then we can miss all of those different things. Remember, I posted something recently and the woman had great exercises, especially for traveling, you know, using the washcloth on the floor. That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
But why did we have to market that it was going to give you toned legs and you are already sick thin? No, yes. I'm not going to get tiny legs from doing your workout, but I will get stronger legs. I will feel better in my body. I will have improved mental health and all sorts of other things. Why do we have to focus on how you look in the process?
Yes, because when we focus on that, to your point, you're missing out on all of the other wonderful benefits that can come with it. But also, I feel like there's got to be such a high like turnover rate or dropout rate with students of those classes when they come and their legs don't look like the legs of the instructor. And then all of a sudden we're like, they're like, this doesn't work. You know, it's not working for me. This isn't for me. And they quit, all the while missing all of those other wonderful benefits. And I'm specifically thinking about now, because I've been teaching a dance conditioning class this summer.
Oh, fun.
And how I wish instructors like you would have existed when I was a younger dancer, because instead of spending all this time like trying to burn calories on the elliptical, like, how about we strengthen our glutes so our jumps can get higher, so that we can
absolutely,
you know, get stronger in our balance and, you know, turn with more control or whatever, but, you know, whatever benefits that might come with it, we lose out on that. So 100%. What are some of the other biggest myths about bar that you're seeing perpetuated? What, I guess, what do you want people to know is like straight up lies?
What's straight up lies in bar? Definitely the ballerina body. Like we were talking about, most of the people that are coming into that already have that quote unquote body type because they gravitated towards it at a young age. They're super, super active 2-3 hours a day, probably just naturally with rehearsals and everything. So that understanding of just your reason behind exercise in weight loss programs, they often talk about your why and, you know, why do you want to do this? What do you want? And I think that there is an empowered way that we can apply that to non-diet fitness? What's your why? What are we reaching towards? Not your body. Let's pick something else.
Yes.
Are we looking for better mental health? Are you looking to build strong, healthy bones and muscles? Are you looking to reduce your risk for chronic disease? Are you looking to maybe build that strength? That way you can pick up the stroller, you know, and be able to do functional things that you have to do for your everyday life. So I think we can still have that why, but we can take an empowered approach with it.
Yeah.
That fills our cup instead of feeling like, oh shoot, I didn't get the cut for the tank top move. I went to a Pilates class and I was so irritated that she said that. I'm like, you just ruined the workout. I was having a good time.
Yes. Oh, isn't it so hard when you're an instructor and you know what you know and you go to somebody else's class and you're like, oh, this would have been so good. And then you opened your mouth.
I was like, this was a really great move. I was really loving it. I'm like, but you kind of just ruined it. Thanks.
So I want to skip forward a little bit and talk about using exercise and movement as a way to empowerment, because that's something I really value too, to kind of help people build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. And so I'd love to hear more about how you help clients and students set goals to support those other things, or how to even figure out like, what are those other things that are important to you? Because I think a lot of people don't even know what else is available to them besides weight loss.
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to set goals that are realistic and sustainable at that current time. If your current time looks like you have 10 minutes, then we're going to do a 10-minute workout, because you doing 10-minute workouts, say 4 to 5 days a week, or even, you know, 2-3 days a week, whatever you have the capacity for. If you do that 52 weeks out of the year, that is so much better than you saying, oh shoot, I fell off the wagon, I need to, you know, get back into fitness. And you go super, super crazy. You do our workouts for, let's say, 3 weeks, you know, leading up to your birthday or holiday time or vacation. And that happens 3 times a year. What if we just started small and worked within the capacity that you do currently have? Because we can always build from that. We can go from 10 minutes to 20 to 30 to maybe 3 times a week for 45 minutes. And that's freaking fantastic. But you won't get there if you decide that you need to do 2-hour workouts, you know, every single day. And then you end up burning out, getting an injury, and deciding that you hate fitness. And we can probably understand why.
Yes. That's same. And for all of you that are listening, that have listened to my podcast for a while, you know, that's exactly 100% what we're talking about here. In fact, I was just talking to a client the other day and she was describing like a similar pattern to what you just said. And we were talking a little bit about consistency and kind of what exercise looks like for her during like a really stressful, busy time versus what it looks like in the other times. And I'm like, what if that super stressful, busy time when you can only fit in like this much, say it's like, you know, 2 days a week or 10 minute workouts or whatever, like, what if that's your consistency? Like, what if that's your minimum? And anything else after that is just a cherry on top.
Right.
Yeah. What else though? Because I feel like there's more to this. I mean, didn't you essentially use this as your whole master's project?
I want
to hear more about that, because.
Yeah. So I took the approach of utilizing bar in the empowered way is kind of how I like to phrase it, because often we see bar, like we were talking about with the changing your body or, you know, getting the long legs. So one of the biggest things that I like to do is start every workout with setting that intention, which then kind of goes into the not focusing on our body, focusing on our body as, you know, a beautiful work of art, a masterpiece, not something that is a work in progress. So taking a moment at the beginning of class to set an intention. I always say your intention can be the fact that you are proud that you showed up to class today because there were other options. If that's where you're at today, I can meet you there. Now, if you want to set your intention for, you know, getting stronger and really pushing yourself to the max, I'm there to support you too. But just know, you know, kind of figure out who I'm talking to, you know, if I'm saying, you know, pick up those heavy weights, if you're, I showed up, then you stay there. I'm happy you showed up. But setting that intention for the class at the beginning and then being able to implement that empowering language throughout the workout. So focusing on our breath, getting connected to our body, focusing on just utilizing that body confidence language throughout the workout to help people feel comfy in their bodies and begin to not see their bodies as a problem or something that needs to be changed. And then I love ending all of classes with affirmations. We always put a hand on our belly and a hand on our heart and say, I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm capable, I'm worthy, and I'm so much more than a body. And I love ending classes that way because it just feels so empowering and it just, you know, really reinforces that our bodies are the least interesting thing about us. It's great that we have the ability to move and to experience, you know, vacations, family, love, and all of the other sorts of things that we do. So I like to help clients focus on the things that they can do with their bodies as opposed to the way that it looks.
Yeah. I'm like, you're just making me feel all warm and fuzzy. Like I'm not even a bar person. And I feel like I want to come take your class immediately.
You're so fun.
And I think, you know, and it's so interesting how we do this because I think like as fitness professionals, both of us, we're kind of like dismantling the bullshit in our own like separate corner of the fitness industry. And, you know, one thing that I always say is that like, rather than just like writing the fitness industry off as toxic, which like, let's be honest, there are a lot of toxic parts, better to work and change it. But I feel like I've had so many negative experiences just in like the dance world and like the arena of bar that's almost, and I didn't even realize this until now, even kind of gotten in the way of me doing it much at all because of that garbage messaging around it. So like, thank you for bringing a fresh perspective to that. That just like, it makes me so happy. I feel like that should be, and why wouldn't you want that?
Right. Yeah.
In a absolutely. Class. Why wouldn't you want that?
The part that I love about that the most is I have a client who has been with me since the get-go, like when I was still Raise the Bar Fitness. And she has been the most consistent person. And it's that fact that like when we enjoy something, if people struggle with consistency so much. I'm like, do you like your workouts? Like, do you like what you do? Because if somebody loves their job, they're going to be excited to get up and go every day. If somebody hates their job, they're going to lay in bed for, you know, 40 minutes past their alarm and get there when they get there, I guess, right?
Yeah.
If you love what your class is, I don't have to force your hand to come show up. You're just going to show up. And if you fall off, you're going to want to come back, right?
Yeah.
So it helps build that consistency so much when first we enjoy our workouts and then we aren't focusing on our body as the unit to whether exercise is effective for us or not. We can focus on those performance-based goals and say, wow, I'm getting so much stronger. I'm not getting winded when I'm doing these cardio exercises. Oh my gosh, I was doing the modifications last week, this week doing the same workout, and I can pick up, you know, the heavy weights. I can do those harder, more complicated moves, or maybe I'm doing my plank for a little bit longer. So we can focus on those sorts of things. That just helps enhance our exercise routine so much more.
Yes. And I'm thinking about two things right now when you say this. And the first thing I want to hammer home is that enjoyment factor, because I think we could sit here and like nitpick the nitty grittiness of all of it, of like, well, absolutely, you should do bar if these are your goals because X, Y, and Z. And then like, I'm over here with all my kettlebells in the background being like, you should do kettlebells. You should strength train, you know, with kettlebells if you want to have like XYZ goal. At the end of the day, like if you're working towards consistency, I don't care what thing you pick. Pick a thing and do the thing and start there. And then we can get like super specific about what or like what mix of things. And like if you like multiple activities, like how many days a week you should, you know, do kettlebells and do bar and do whatever else you do, but like, it doesn't make a difference if you don't like it enough to actually do it. Like, who cares?
Right.
But the other thing that I'm thinking about is I have to notice that when you have that sort of approach, like not body focused, that's going to bring people back to class more and more, because they know Maya's not going to shame me if I haven't been here in 2 weeks and I come back and I gain weight or I can't hold my plank for as long.
No, welcome back, girlfriend.
Yes. Happy to see you. Yes. Ah, oh, so good. So good. I want to talk a little bit more about your public health knowledge and experience. I mean, I have so many questions about like what you learn in a master's of public health, but I think what I really want to know the most is how you integrate what you learned there to the work you do in the fitness industry. And then also like what you wish that more people understood from that public health perspective.
I think one of the biggest things, actually, I know one of the biggest things that I've appreciated through my master's of public health training is a greater understanding of the social determinants of health. And I think the fitness industry as a whole could use a better understanding of that. It's not a, if I eat like you and work out like you, then I'm gonna look like you too. When you look at all of the other social determinants of health, your air quality, your environmental hazards, your exposure to violence, your job, where you work, where you live, your employment, whether you have a sedentary job or a more active job, there's so many different things. If even the air quality, if you have poor air quality, that can affect your weight. I mean, there's just so many different things, you know, your genetic factors that come into play with your body shape and size. And when we only think calories in, calories out, you're missing the whole damn point.
Yes.
So many other social determinants of health. And, you know, our health behaviors, when we look at the pyramid of that, our health behaviors account for 30% of our health. It's going to be things like policies, laws, systems that are in place to help make healthy choices, basically just kind of the default. If you have access to, I mean, where I work, there's not a freaking grocery store that's affordable. There's one grocery store, but I wouldn't even shop there because it's so expensive. We have to like, who's this created for? But if you don't have access to healthy foods, if you live in a food desert, some people are just doing the freaking best. And we're out here shaming people for going to a fast food store and trying to make the best, you know, the healthiest choice there that they can. And then they're going to go on a walk. That's some people's capacity. Not everybody lives in a safe area to exercise, you know, outside and all of these sorts of things. So we can understand people's overall living situation, the overall structure. We think about things like smoke-free air laws. That is a policy that has greatly improved our health over the course of time. We have to think about larger systems and policies that can help us lead healthier lives to have that overall system and policy change. But when we look at the individual level, my individual health behaviors account for 30% of my total health. 30%. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. Yes.
I'm like louder for the people in the back. Like say that again.
30% of your total health. And that's so wild. So is it important to exercise and eat healthy? And am I saying that you should just drop it all? Absolutely not. That 30% matters. But we also have to think about the other 70% that accounts for our total health. And if we are just discarding that and saying, well, calories in, calories out. You aren't trying hard enough. You aren't committed. You know, you're missing the point.
Yes. And I think, you know, where I live right now, I'm in the north suburbs of Chicago. That's primarily where I see clients in person. And I don't know what it's been like where you live recently with air quality, but we had a couple of weeks last week where we got that bad like the smoke that was coming from the wildfires in Canada. Mm-hmm. And we had air quality alerts for almost a week. It wasn't safe to go outside. And a lot of my clients were telling me that they were really feeling the effects of that physically, whether it was, you know, getting winded more easily or, you know, having a dry throat or a runny nose or, like irritation in their eyes and stuff like that. And I think that was a really tangible reality check for a lot of people who maybe have it very easy and a lot of accessible things, because I don't remember ever experiencing anything like that air quality.
Right. Yeah.
But like that or some flavor of that is a lot of people's lived reality, whether the air quality is preventing them from going outside or, you know, it's not living in a safe neighborhood or weather or like any number of factors. I mean, we could go on all day, but you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Very powerful point. Oh, I'm like, we could just go on and on. What else do you want to add, Maya? Is there anything else that you feel like you want us to know in regards to choosing a bar class, what to look out for, or what we need to consider in the realm of pelvic health for not only ourselves, but like others and understanding each other?
Yeah, I think it's just really important to lead with grace and compassion for, you know, any fitness professionals that are listening to this, to work to understand your client's individual stories, and to take an empowered approach to fitness. You are going to be so heavily reverenced in your role as their trainer, and you have the opportunity to build them up or break them down, but you get to make that decision that is going to impact their experience with fitness. I can work with the client and say, you should probably lose 20 pounds, or I can work with the client to build a consistent exercise routine that they will love. They will stick with it for years. They're going to build strong, healthy bones, muscles. They're going to keep coming back. They're going to have better mental health, overall reduced risk for chronic disease, and so many other things. And when we think about the things that really matter in fitness, the latter is really what we're shooting towards. Because at the end of the day, we can't, you know, engage in an exercise routine, say for 1-2 years, get all of these beautiful benefits and say, well, because my weight didn't change, I didn't make any progress. What the heck? Where does that come from? Why do we think if our bodies don't change, then we haven't made progress with exercise? That's just so ridiculous to me.
Yep.
So just being able to look at exercise as a tool to improve your overall health, I think is really important, and not focusing on whether or not your body is changing in the process. Now, as you engage in exercise, may things kind of shift? Maybe, but also maybe not. But if we allow that to be the byproduct and not the main focus, then we allow ourselves to have a beautiful experience with exercise, regardless of if your body changes, because you'll be looking at things like the improved mental health, the reduced risk for chronic disease. Maybe your joints are feeling better, your muscles are feeling better, you're breathing better, you're able to walk up the stairs, you're able to play with your kids. Like those things that really matter long term. I mean, I always love saying that, you know, training for my 80-year-old body, like I want to be able to get off the toilet. Like,
yes,
basic things. I want to be able to drive around to go, you know, see grandkids and to be able to do those things. And you can't do those things if you can't maintain an independent life. And a great way to ensure that you can, within reason, of course, life happens, but a great preventative approach is to have that consistent exercise routine that includes that strength training. That way, my grandma is, I don't know how old she is, 80, 85 maybe. And nobody worries about her in that big old house because she goes on her daily walks.
Yeah.
She makes sure to do the things that are within her control to be happy and healthy. We aren't worried about her falling down the stairs or having, you know, an accident or anything. And that's the kind of life that we should aspire to be. And when we can look at fitness as the long game and not, dang it, it's summer, I missed it, I'm not, you know, all of these sorts of things that are kind of just ingrained to diet culture, we can look at it and see the long game and the parts that really freaking matter. Then I think that allows us to have that beautiful, empowered relationship with exercise that can help us be consistent forever. Of course, there's different seasons of life, but the goal is overall consistency, not, you know, over the course of years.
Yes. Oh, I just feel so warm and fuzzy talking to you about it. Like it gives me hope. It gives me hope because, you know, at the end of the day, like wherever you fall on that spectrum of meeting like the beauty standard of the moment, and like those are ever changing. But to your point, talking about, you know, we're all going to age out of beauty standards eventually, which is unfortunate and awful. But like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be 80 years old. You know, and I see people like this, and I know people like this in my life who are still, you know, worried that they're going to gain weight from eating like whatever cookies at the holiday party.
Right.
And it's like, are we still worrying about this in our 80s? Like,
right. And that's just heartbreaking. It's
yeah.
Like, you can't enjoy your birthday because you're worried that you're going to gain a pound.
Yeah. I really hope, like, and I've been thinking about this a lot from a parenting perspective because my son's 2.5. So I've been digging into that, but thinking about like breaking generational cycles, you know, when it comes to like your family, I feel like in a way you're kind of doing that in fitness, like in bar, you know, that's like what we're trying to do, I think, is break those like shitty experiences that we've had personally in the fitness industry and be like, no, we're going to make this better for the people that we serve and the people that come after that after us. And that's just, I'm really excited. I'm really excited about it. What I guess the only other thing that I want to know is like, obviously I want to take your class. Where can we take your class? Where can we find you? How can we work with you? Share all the things.
Yeah. So I'm at Bar Empowered on all of the things, not literally all of the things, but your basic Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, now on Threads, if you want to hop on there.
Yes.
I probably missed a couple, maybe TikTok, Pinterest. I think that's everything, but at Bar Empowered. And then my website, super, super easy, barempowered.com. I actually have a sale on all memberships, so you can get 40% off right now too.
Nice. And so you teach bar classes online, so we can take those like all across the lands. Like I can actually take a class if I want to. Cool. Mm-hmm. And do you teach in person too, where you live or no?
I do not. No, not currently.
Got it. Okay. But we can all find you on the internet. Definitely. If you don't already know and follow Maya, please give her a follow, especially my fellow dancers that are listening to this, because every time you post something, I'm just like, oh, hell yes. And I'm that person who will like, I feel like I've unfollowed a lot of those accounts, but you do such a wonderful job of just like unearthing it. And then doing your own little hot take on it. Like, no, actually this is wrong. And we're going to do it this way, but like somehow you're not mean about it either. So it doesn't like
leave
you
with definitely my goal. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just very, very honest, but like, I don't know, never leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So I super appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. I'm going to link to all of your things in the show notes so that people can follow you.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. This was
great. Hey, thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Maya as much as I did. As I mentioned, I'm going to link to all of her info in the show notes so that you can work with her, take a class with her, follow her, all of that. So thanks again for being here. Have a great day and a great week, and we'll talk soon. Thanks again for tuning into Tough Cookie Talks. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to learn more about me and how we can work together, visit my website, itsjennaj.com, or follow and tag me on Instagram at itsjennaj. I would love to hear from you. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, make sure you click subscribe and follow along so that you don't miss a single show. Then take a moment and leave me a 5-star rating and review so that we can help this podcast and this message reach even more people. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.